Thanks a lot, Keith. The things you mentioned are going to be a bit of an introduction into what I want to share this morning. You mentioned Joseph and some of the things that he went through, and you mentioned two people in Canada, and what's consistent across a lot of those stories is that those people were experiencing or are experiencing pain. It happens in a lot of different ways. It happened in the story of Joseph. In a couple of different ways, being betrayed by your brothers is a certain kind of pain. Being falsely accused is a certain kind of pain. Being stuck in a dungeon trying to fend for yourself is a kind of pain. So that's a little bit what I want to look at. You see the subtitle there, it says, "Where and how does hurt affect us?" I don't really know why I chose the words painful, hurt, or necessarily in that order. I will probably use hurt a majority of the time. But it comes from pain or damage, and there's a lot of different places and ways it comes about. Unfortunately, it does happen in this life. It just does. It's not something that we can get away from. But looking at understanding how and in what ways it affects us, and where and what areas the pain affects us. Marv has been speaking about forgiveness quite a bit lately, and I don't know that we can get to forgiveness without understanding the effect of hurt or pain, because it does affect us. I don't think you can necessarily jump straight from a hurt to forgiveness without going through a bit of a journey or without knowing what you've experienced. What I want to talk about this morning is not something that I'm standing up here and saying this is the way it is. I typically approach things a little bit more where I spitball ideas, and if you think that they stick, then they do, and if not, then disregard it and find somebody else to listen to. But I don't have a curriculum I'm following. I don't have a course. I've kind of been thinking about it through Marv's discussions, through Marv's preaching on forgiveness. I was hoping I could send this presentation to somebody before I go through it here, just to see if I'm jumping off a cliff or if it's making sense. And I figured maybe why send it anywhere? You can do that here. I trust each of you completely, and so if it's off on an angle, then I'll say it. So Albert asked me as he was sitting down, if I'm going to give time for comment after my speak. So I guess I better would if I'm saying there might be some questions about it. Why is there hurt? God's creation includes choice, and choice means that there's an opportunity for hurt. The only way to get rid of hurt is to have no life. You can die, and then there's no more pain. Life will equal pain, will equal hurt. People around you can be there through the pain, can be there through the hurt. They can also be the source of it. If you eliminate people and alienate yourself somewhere in the middle of a jungle in Brazil where there's no people and you only have animals in a rainforest, your hurt probably will be reduced. I imagine the animals that are there will let you know, or might produce some pain in your life. But and then another way is choices, or you can eliminate choices and it may reduce hurt. Adam and Eve had a choice. That choice affected them and all the people around them. We all have choices. Not nearly all of the pain we go through as we walk on this earth is from people's choices around us, our own or those around us, but a lot of it is. What is hurt or pain? What definition do I want to use? And I don't it was a little bit hard with this one. I usually like to define terms before I start, so I wanted to do something that has us talking about definition. But the pain that we're talking about can be an action or an experience or an event that damages us. If you're young and rambunctious and you fall out of a tree and your foot might end up looking like the one that's up here, that's going to bring some pain and hurt. You can go through something like a breach of trust with a loved one or betrayal of love. You can lose a loved one. You can make bad choices through lack of foresight. You focus on yourself. You misuse power. All these are ways that we experience pain in life. Again, a lot of times it's from the people around us. A lot of times it's ourselves. It's also, there's times when it's the fault of nobody. It seems like it's something we like to do is assign fault when there's a hurt, when there's pain experienced. And doing that doesn't really bring healing. Sometimes there is a perpetrator and a victim. Sometimes the perpetrator and the victim are one and the same. And sometimes there's not a perpetrator. Another thing about pain is that we feel pain differently. Each person will experience a different kind of pain differently. You see, I never understood the sport of boxing, why you would get in a ring and punch each other in the face till you're all bloody and bruised, but I think those guys would have a different level of pain threshold than I do, obviously, because I won't do it. That's a different tolerance of pain, I guess, or maybe they're just dumber, I'm not sure, but we do experience pain differently. Some people are more sensitive to it in different areas, from past experiences or what we have experienced. And the way we experience pain doesn't make us a weaker person or a less significant person. It's just kind of a fact that pain is felt differently. One of the things I think that's important in looking at pain, and I think this goes a little bit into forgiveness, and Marv might have covered it, I'm not sure, but there has to be a proper realization that you've been hurt. You can't, forgiveness is not ignoring pain or ignoring hurt. Numbing the pain is not a way to heal. And I think that in some ways, maybe our upbringing has taught us that pain and hurt is something we shouldn't feel. Because that's not a sign of forgiveness if you still feel that. I think that's untrue. We do have to feel or understand that we've been hurt in order to move on, in order to experience healing. Of course, the opposite of it applies as well. It doesn't help us heal by holding on to the hurt, by nursing it, by continuing this feeling for somebody or against somebody. That's not a healing thing either. Seems like in the world and in relation to the government, a lot of people often want to see justice. You know, you'll hear a murder victim maybe speaking about justice finally being served when the murderer has been put in prison or sentenced. And I don't know. I don't think they talk about healing there, but I'm not sure that that's a true actual healing. Justice doesn't. It may be a step in it, but doesn't automatically bring healing. That's right. That one is incorrect. Thanks for pointing it out, Marv. Ignoring the pain does not heal. You may kind of be able to think that it does, but it does just because you're claiming that pain is gone, but that's not accurate. So thanks for pointing that out. Where have you been hurt? So this is a little bit of what I want to look at this morning. kind of an introduction up until now. So I think the last time I spoke, I don't remember for sure if it was the last time or one of the times, we talked a little bit about God being three in one, God being soul, body, and spirit. He created us in His image with the same body, soul, spirit makeup. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the definition that, the word that you might hear me use this morning is realm. I think we actually kind of touched on it just a little bit in Sunday school class when we were looking at Mary's prayer and Zacharias's prayer. I'm not going to give you the tools to classify every hurt, but think about different pain that you've experienced and in which of these areas it may fall. Because that will mean something. And I'm spitballing a little bit because some of these definitions and the lines and connections between them all are kind of a little bit unclear for me. I think it is because we are so well connected. One thing that you will hear is the word spirits and spiritual. And that's with the way the word is up there on the board. It may be in a slightly different context than you're used to. I think, if I can say it right, we often use the word spiritual health or the spirit of a person connected to the eternal soul of somebody. And I think it's a little bit different than that. That's why soul and spirit are up there as separate things. The soul is a little bit different than our spirit. And sometimes I think we use the words almost interchangeably, but I believe there's a difference there. All right, so looking at the first one, hurt from the soul or hurt in your soul, soul pain, that is damage to a person's soul. The soul is connected to God the Father. And the word we typically use for this would be sin. When there's sin present, your soul is disconnected from God the Father. Damage in your soul is often connected to attitudes. Carrying hate or bitterness, which is an attitude in your soul, is something that will damage your eternal soul. Operating out of disobedience. Disobedience is an attitude, a way of doing life. That is a sin and will have damage in your eternal soul. There's things that happen in soul pain that will disconnect us from God, and that's ultimately what hurt in the soul is. Body hurt. This is one we're probably the most familiar with because we're all people. That is painful. Physical pain, when something like you see in the picture there happens, is damage in our physical body. Jesus went through a massive amount of physical pain when he died on the cross. Our body is a reflection of Jesus. That's what the body is, God's Son. Equals, it's present on this earth. Jesus was here on this earth. He experienced hunger. He had to sleep. He had people. He had friends. He was a physical being of God. And damage in the body is often connected to actions. So it's obvious in the picture the action that happened was probably a nail gun, because I don't think you'd do that with a hammer. But that is physical pain often comes from actions. Spirit pain, that's damage or a hurt in your spirit. And spirit's connected to the Holy Spirit, to the spirit part of God. I believe that our spirit is connected or is made up of our emotions and feelings. Experiencing a deep sadness, that is an emotion, and that will damage a person's spirit. If you live in that pain, it's a disconnection from God the Spirit when there is, when there's a hurt or a pain in your soul, in your spirit that hasn't been healed. Okay, so I kind of went through those pretty fast. Here's the part that gets a little bit more sticky, is that a lot of times pain is linked across those different areas. Pain in one realm will hurt or will cause pain in another realm. Sometimes it's almost impossible to separate them. There's different things, you know, where things like certain kinds of abuse, physical or sexual abuse, can span all three realms. It will create pain in all three areas for somebody who has experienced that. I think that there's a lot of times that physical sickness, physical hurt, is because of damage in spirit. There's a lot of times that you can have people whose spirit is hurt because of a physical body that's not working right, a physical body that's damaged. I don't know what all these connections look like. I'm just trying to get us thinking about different areas that we're hurt in and how maybe we can look at them for healing. Because I do think that this hurt being linked together is one of the things that's key in keeping healing and forgiveness from happening. Healing and forgiveness will be a struggle if you're seeking healing and forgiveness in only one realm, but there's multiple realms that have hurt. It won't be a complete healing. It won't be a complete forgiveness. And a lot of times we can't understand why. I do want to hold off on the healing just part just a little bit. I will get to that a little bit later. But there's another interesting kind of connection that comes into this when I was going through this, and that is, who's the authority? Who's there to stand guard against pain or limit its occurrence? Obviously, I started by saying that if you're alive, pain is going to happen. I don't think we can eradicate it. But there are different authorities in these different realms that are there for protection, for responsibility. The authority in the realm of the soul is God the Father. He's alone. He alone is the judge. He's the healer. He's the protector. Satan doesn't control your soul. God provides protection for your soul. The eternal destiny of your soul is in his hands. He is the authority for the soul. The body authority is a more physical thing. Again, you know, we saw the physical hurt being something that happened to a body. That type of physical hurt is often governed by God's appointed. Romans 13 talks about that a little bit. And most of the interaction with the state and government is related to physical laws and rules. If you harm somebody or you damage their physical property, the local government authority probably has something to say about it. Jesus did subject himself to the earthly authorities. He said, "Render to Caesar who's Caesar's." He was taken captive by the Roman guard. They're ultimately the ones who crucified him. So he did subject himself to the earthly authority that he's got set up. Murder, robbery, assault, theft, threatenings, trespassing, speeding, drunk driving, a whole bunch of stuff you can come up with. Blue-collar crime, theft, white-collar crime, whatever, embezzlement, it's all connected to physical. It's all connected to a physical realm. And God set that up because the choices that he allowed people when they don't have any guard brings way more hurt to the people around them than having this authority. The Holy Spirit is the spiritual authority. Living in the Holy Spirit with Holy Spirit power will bring protection and healing to our spirit. We worship in spirit. The Holy Spirit governs that. The church doesn't. And this is one that I struggled with a little bit as well, because obviously this is the third slide talking about authority. And I didn't mention the church's authority at all until now. So where does that fit in? And I really believe that the New Testament church, with the Holy Spirit guiding us as we worship together, as we live life together, we're a group of people where we operate ministering to each other. It does happen on a spiritual level. And this is where I was talking about the word maybe a little bit differently than what you're used to. The church doesn't have authority to determine the fate of somebody's soul. That is not authority that God has given the church. The church does not have authority to prosecute a thief. That's the authority of the state. And the church doesn't replace the Holy Spirit as authority among spirits either. It kind of operates on as a church, we're operating as a group of people together. It would operate more in the realm of where family and some of those other constructs work, because the church does span spirit and body. We are here to take care of each other and to work together with each other. And, you know, Paul or Peter, I forget, you know, appointing deacons in the church to take care of some physical needs. That was something that the church can be here to do, is help physically. The church also is here to help us grow spiritually. So we talked about hurt being linked. Are the authorities linked? Can one authority cross over into the realm of the other? I think that authority only operates within its one realm. That's why you have the peas in a separate box from the apples, from the pears, from the tomatoes, and whatever else is on there, lemons and onions. Because hurt is linked, there will be responsibility to multiple authorities, but the church cannot take an authority and take the place of God. I mentioned that previously. You know, it doesn't determine the state of a soul. The government does not have the authority to determine the state of a person's soul. Is a wrong against the government always a wrong against God? I don't know. I think sometimes it isn't. The government has laws against speeding, and I guess you could say that the roundabout way is to say that God set up the government, so if you're disobeying the government, you're disobeying God. But the reality is that I believe you can speed and get a speeding ticket, be in violation with the state on a physical level, and it doesn't affect whether you're saved or not. The condition of your soul is not dependent on that. There are wrongs against God that are not wrongs against the state. Jesus talks about if you hate your brother, you might as well kill him. The government looks at that completely different. It's a different story if you hate somebody versus killing somebody in regards to the government. There may be hate speech and some different stuff like that you hear, but you know, you can walk around every day carrying hate in your heart for your brother, and the government doesn't care. It doesn't matter to them one bit. But operating like that will affect your soul. This one is again one of the things that kind of sometimes I think trips us up. We have to deal with the government on the government's terms and the authority of God saying that your soul is saved does not mean there's no debt to the local government if you've wronged it. You remember the parable of the shrewd manager, and this wasn't necessarily the point, but it was an interesting side note in that parable, is that this manager was forgiving the debts of somebody who he had no right to forgive debts for. He was saying, I'll forgive debts of these people who owed money to his boss, so to speak, but he had no right to do that. We can't do that. When you're dealing with hurt and pain, you can't say that, you can't forgive the debts of something that are outside. So if we're operating here as a group of individuals and your brother, somebody who you trust and love, betrays your trust in some way, that's pain that you'll feel. You're going to see that, and that will show up every time you see that person. We can't say, well, that doesn't apply to the government at all. You know, the government doesn't have anything to do with it, so it doesn't mean that my pain is valid. You can't forgive it from one to the other. The government, just because the government says, you know, that doesn't mean anything to us, doesn't mean it doesn't mean anything. And I'll say some specific ones. I think that requiring a person to get up in front of church and confess a sin as a means for reconciling the soul is wrong. It's not in the church's authority to be responsible for the soul of that person. Are there some other benefits that may come from doing that? Yes, if you've wronged the group of people that you're with and hurt a number of people, then standing in front of that group of people and saying, I'm sorry, I need your forgiveness, that is a step toward healing. Confessing a sin in front of the church that's also a wrong against the state is not going to alleviate that responsibility. If it's a white-collar crime and you've embezzled money from the church, that kind of is the people right here. But there's a responsibility to the government for those laws that you've broken, that the church forgiving you does not exempt yourself from. There may be some times when it affects it a little bit, but you know, a judge isn't going to waive your jail time just because if you've committed a crime against the state, they're not going to waive your jail time just because you stood up in front of church and said you're sorry. We do minister to each other when we experience hurt, and that's what we're here for, to stand alongside, but as a church, we're not that authority. All right, so where does healing take place? And we have the three areas up there again. The healing has to take place in the areas where the hurt is, and it has to happen in all of the realms that the hurt's occurred in. What does it take to restore a relationship with God or the state government or your brother or your church? When the hurt occurs in multiple realms, are the consequences limited to just that one party? So these are kind of rhetorical questions, because healing and forgiveness in one realm doesn't mean it's been completed in all of them. And I think in regards to forgiveness as a step in healing, I don't think that forgiveness doesn't equal healing. I think you can experience forgiveness but still have to deal with some pain, still have to deal with healing. I think that they're connected, but they're not directly connected. Forgiving yourself doesn't mean that healing has been complete. Healing takes different lengths of time, it takes different remedies, it takes different corrections depending on where the hurt happened at. That's about all that I have on hurt. I guess, again, my main point this morning is to think about these different areas. And when you've experienced a hurt or a wrong or damage in a certain area of your life, ask God to direct you in how that has affected you. Look for healing in all the areas where that pain has happened at. Because, again, it will be incomplete if you don't. This is my last slide. It has mercy and grace up there as two words. Mercy is experienced by the bringer of the hurt, and grace is experienced by the receiver of the hurt. So there's two sides. When there's pain, when there's damage, when there's injury, when there's hurt, there's a victim, a perpetrator, there's a receiver of that, there's a bringer of that, most times. And in when that's the case, they both have their own journeys of healing. It doesn't negate or make less the journey that either the victim or the perpetrator, the bringer of the hurt or the receiver has to go on. Mercy is something that is directly connected to somebody who has done wrong, who has created pain, who has created a disconnect or separation. And grace is there to be experienced by the people who are walking through the healing of feeling that. If you've experienced pain or hurt in one realm or another, then pray for grace. Pray for grace for that healing. If you've been the perpetrator of that pain, and we kind of know the story of David when Nathan came and kind of bluntly to his face told him, "You are the man who caused this pain." His cry was for mercy. That's what he needed at that point. Be open to understanding that the hurt is multiple realms. Stop hunting for healing in only one. Ask God if there's healing that needs to happen in other places. Grace will come from God the Father. Love will come from God the Son. And power will come from God the Spirit to bring complete healing. That can happen. It will happen. It needs to happen, but it takes the three parts of God, so to speak, to bring that healing in the three areas of our makeup, of our being. So grace can be power that gets us through that healing, and love from God, being confident that we are saved, that our soul is in Him, it's in His hands, and He controls that. That's a good foundation to start healing from. All right, that's the end. Albert, did you want to say something? Or anybody else for that matter? I went through it really, really fast. But just think about healing and hurt and look for that in multiple areas. Be aware that we may not see the whole part of it. I was going to share a couple examples, but it's already later, so I'll skip that. But the pain is going to happen. The hurt will happen by people around us, by people that we love. And calling, ignoring it, forgiveness is not going to find you healing. Focusing only on one area is not going to find complete healing. But ask for God's grace for that journey to healing. Pain causes a reaction, yes.
We have a reaction. Our general, our most common reaction is to protect that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And protecting the woman, especially in social relationships, is not healing.
Mm-hmm. I forget who it was. Oh, yeah, you'd text McKeith and ask how it was going, and I said I had too much to try to get down. So that reaction was a part that I dropped, because there are some things to say about how you do react to pain in these different realms. And pain in the body, pain in the spirit, and pain in the soul will cause you to react differently in different ways. And then you start to compound it because your reaction can create pain. Now you've got a snowball going. That wasn't my words. I didn't say there's little value in confessing your sins in front of people. I said that we often think that it corrects things in realms that it doesn't. And what I mean by that, what I would have experienced probably mostly is, in order for your soul to be saved, you have to get up in front of the church and make a confession. And I don't think that's right. God is the authority of your soul, not the church.
How do you
That's right. So that's what I was saying, that the church often operates in the physical and the spiritual realm. So obviously getting up in front and making a confession doesn't bring a physical healing, but it brings a spirit. It brings a healing of spirits. It brings a spiritual healing. And so I'm not saying we don't need to do that. I think that it is a step in healing, but it's a step in healing in a little area. And we have often made it be the main thing that brings healing, and that's not. That's why I'm saying that's incomplete. If you've been the bringer of pain to somebody's spirit that's connected with you as a group of believers, then yes. The realm of confession doesn't need to go farther than the people that you've hurt. And it does need to include the people that you've hurt. So that's what healing is, a restoration. And, you know, I kind of like old vehicles and working on stuff, and there's a ton of work that goes into restoration. I have, other day I was looking through pictures from years and years ago, and Ellis and I had worked on an old Volkswagen Bug that we had, and we bondoed that thing and feathered that thing and sanded that thing and painted it and sanded it again. It went on and on and on and on. It was a ton of work. That's the restoration, I think. That healing betrayed trust, betrayed love. Many different things in the spirit that do take time to heal. God's spirit can direct us in that and can bring that healing, but it's not a magic wand. It just happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, defining hurt, pain, damage, heartache, wounds, there's a whole bunch of words that we could use, was a little bit hard to do, but it is important, because a lot of times we can find, and I think I might have missed that when I was going through, so a healthy body, or a healthy realm, a healthy spirit, a healthy soul, a healthy body, doesn't mean you won't be injured, but will lead to quicker healing. If you're in really, really bad physical health and you fall and break your hip, it's going to be a long road to recovery. If you're in fairly good physical condition, physical health, and you have a broken arm, you bounce back pretty quickly. So there is something that to be said for health, and that may be a little bit where you're going, Marv, because what are healthy ways to be before the pain happens? That's outlook, that's expectation, that's realizing who you are in Christ, that's experiencing His love. That is all related to health. That puts you in a different place when the pain is experienced. Doesn't stop it from happening, but I think brings healing in a different way. All right, thanks for listening. I can sometimes talk fast and kind of think fast. I hope you caught some of it. Just think again about, in relation to damage you felt, or pain that you felt, or hurt that you felt. Ask God for grace to walk that journey of healing so that you for sure find the different realms where the pain has occurred in, so it can be healed.